Good morning, everybody. You made it. Congratulations. Let's remember to lift up in prayers today everybody who is at home, everybody who may need some help getting out, and everybody who should be in Florida. We're sorry, Tracy. As well as all the people who don't have warm homes to go to. We'll be thinking of them today. Surprisingly, there's not many of us, but there are plenty of announcements. First off, senior high bowling today is canceled. Please do not come to bowling. Please stay home and stay warm and be comfortable. I'll put it up on Facebook, but just let people know. But next week, we have two exciting events. The junior high is going to be serving at St. Joe's. So meet up here, and then we'll head over together. And as well as the young adult group is going to have volunteer day at Cameron. At Cameron, we not only serve lunch, but we're also going to make it right there. They've got all the supplies ready for us, and we're ready to go. So meet at Cameron at 9:30 if you're a young adult. Bring a hat if you don't want a hairnet. They also said to wear closed-toed shoes, but I don't think anyone's going to do that anyway. And then for the junior highs, meet at 10 o'clock right here. And Al knows which announcements we need.
Yes, next week is St. Joseph's, and we still have openings on our sign-up sheet for food. We need lettuce, cupcakes, and some hamburger, and some apples. So if you can make a donation, it would be appreciated. Thanks.
With all of us here, I'm hoping that you could pass the word around. Today's the last day for Amerik's tickets. Last Sunday, it'll be a couple days before we actually go and get them. So whether you're here or you're listening at home on your podcast later because you're smart, just let me know if you want to go or the next Saturday, I think at 5:05. We'll see you then.
Good morning. Just a quick public service announcement from Public Worship and the ushers that if you would like a large print bulletin, they're available from the ushers on either side, and also there's stacks you can self-serve. Thanks.
Let us come together and worship God.
Thank you. Please rise and join me in the call to worship. We come, heavy with our own thoughts and desires.
You call us, God, to this place of comfort and prayer.
We come busy with to-do lists and tasks to accomplish.
You call us, God, to time of peace and song.
We come preoccupied with our past and worried about our future.
You call us, God, to be present.
We come here as one community, ready to hear God's word. Let us breathe deeply and worship God in this sacred moment.
Let us pray together. Creator God,
you call us to reach out to others, to make connections and repair our broken world. Yet we obsess over our differences and create boundaries between ourselves and others, which blocks us from your grace. We stay where we are comfortable and distance ourselves from your will. Forgive us for the barriers we have built, and forgive us when we do nothing to dismantle the walls which separate us from your grace. Give us the wisdom to recognize divisions in the world, the strength to break through them, and the courage to heal the breach the those barriers create. Amen. Let us now confess silently together. Through Christ, God forgives every one of our sins and invites us into a better way of life.
God beckons us into relationship, uniting us in love. Thanks be to God.
You know, today we're not going to have thoughts for children. Seems like a safe bet.
The first reading this morning is from Psalm chapter 50, verses 1 through 6. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me, my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge.
Thank you.
Our second scripture reading today is from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. Listen now for the word of God. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who was talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and then from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen till after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God for us today. Well, happy February break, everyone. Does it feel like break right now? I know some of us have a week off from school. Some of us just have President's Day off tomorrow, which, honestly, we might have had off anyway. Gotta tell you, I could use a little more of a break. Maybe not a break from work, maybe just a break from winter. A break from being here for a little bit. Maybe we can just all go with Tracy to Florida. That sounds all right. So I'm just wondering, who else is sort of ready for a vacation right now? Yeah, that's what I thought. Not a lot of people here, but there's a lot of hands up. I admit, I'm a little jealous right now of our group that's off in Jamaica. It sounds so wonderful to fly out of a frozen airport and land in tropical weather. I know that they've arrived now, so they're going to be working hard the entire week, helping churches and getting to know children at the basic school. But plenty of us in the congregation are also going on nice, calm vacations this week, eventually, when we can make it out of here. Those vacations sound wonderful. When you're on vacation, you don't need to cook, do any dishes or laundry. You don't have to plan every minute, but you can just sit back and enjoy yourself. I love getting away from it all, spending time with friends, and completely relaxing. Everybody's got, like, that special relaxing place that's really just their favorite, right? Some place where maybe you went once on vacation years ago and you keep thinking about. Or maybe a place where you used to live or go for summer camp. Take a second and think about your calm, quiet, happy place. Maybe it's a campsite in the forest with trees everywhere. Maybe it's up on a mountain with a beautiful view. For me, it's in Chicago, right by the lakeside. We used to host work camps, and we would take all of the visiting youth groups right there so they could watch the sunset over the lake. We lit a fire, and we would sing hymns together, and it was always perfectly peaceful. We've all got someplace like that. Are you thinking of yours right now? Sometimes we just need that place. We need to step back and take a break and just get away from it all. In today's passage, Peter is so excited to get away from it all that he wants to build houses up there on the mountaintop. Now that is some serious commitment to a happy place. As far as Peter's concerned, the mountain in today's passage has everything he needs. A nice view, a gentle breeze, and the radiant vision of Jesus, transfigured in holy glory. Of course Peter wants to build houses for this shining, awe-causing vision of Jesus. And you know, I think it's fair to want to stay up on that mountaintop. The disciples had totally earned a break. In today's story, Jesus' disciples have been through some rough times. To start with, they've left behind their jobs and their families and hometowns just to follow Jesus. And after traipsing all around the country, they must be tired.
Jesus has been busy healing the sick and casting out demons without any time to rest, and his disciples are always right there with him. Jesus is mobbed by crowds who want to hear him preach, and his disciples are stuck trying to scrounge food for them all. Time after time, somebody needs something from Jesus, and he stops everything and gives it to them. Ever since Jesus called his disciples, they've been on the move, spending all of their time focused on other people. The disciples might have predicted that leaving their homes and following Jesus would be hard, but they couldn't have known how much they were going to do. They couldn't know that following Jesus would mean being surrounded by crowds who were in need, and that every day Jesus taught them new, different ideas, with new parables. It must have been exhausting. A lot of the disciples have been struggling to understand what Jesus is talking about, or how to heal people like Jesus does. They need a vacation. Even more importantly, they need to understand just why Jesus is worth sacrificing their everyday lives for. So right before things get really rough, right before the time that we observe as Lent now, Jesus brings three of his disciples up to a mountaintop and shows them just how amazing he really is. Mark doesn't explain why Peter, James, and John think they're going up to the mountaintop with Jesus. But in Luke's gospel, we learn that they were going to pray. And that makes perfect sense. When you've been run ragged by your work, sometimes prayer's all you can do. And throughout the Bible, we've heard stories of people going to a mountaintop to find God. So Jesus and the disciples go up to that nice, deserted place without anyone else around. And then Jesus shows them that God has been with them the whole time. In front of their very eyes, Jesus' entire body changes. He begins shining like the sun. His clothes change, become elegant, beautiful. And suddenly there are two people speaking with him, long-dead prophets who brought the people to God in ancient times. Peter and James and John know, somehow, who these people talking to Jesus are. They see Jesus shining in all his astounding glory, so holy in that moment that he is actually glowing, and they know. They know Jesus is worth following anywhere. They know that Jesus is truly God's presence on earth, and that he is more amazing than any person before or after. The disciples are seeing Jesus' holiness, and it is a wonderful, beautiful moment. And then Peter, bless his heart, puts his foot in his mouth. Peter wants to welcome these shining visitors and praise Jesus by building tents right there on the mountaintop. Peter is ready to settle in at his vacation from work and just never leave again. After all, why should they go anywhere? Moses and Elijah are back from the dead to be on this mountaintop. Jesus looks holy here. On the mountaintop, there's no one shoving in to demand something. There's just pure, beautiful proof that God is present, and Peter doesn't want to give that up. In fact, Peter wants to put up walls around it and keep that holy moment right there where it can make him feel good. The disciples treat Jesus like the God he truly is. They bow before him. They want to build a house to praise him in, just like a church. And they are so glad to be in Jesus' shining glory that they never want to leave. But the other figures vanish before Peter can build any monument at all. And Jesus just turns and goes back down the mountain as if nothing ever happened. Now that Jesus has been transfigured and God's voice has boomed from heaven, you'd think that things could slow down a little, right? After all, Jesus doesn't need to heal people to prove that he's holy. He's got a reference from God. How can you beat that? Jesus doesn't need to spend time teaching others. He can just talk scripture with Moses and Elijah whenever he wants. But Jesus doesn't even stop to catch his breath. His short little vacation is over without a single postcard or souvenir to bring back. Jesus marches right down that mountain into the valley where everybody needs his help. And immediately they meet a man who asked Jesus to heal his son. So Jesus, God on earth, drops everything to touch this sick, suffering little child and heal him. Jesus belongs high in a mountain where everyone can see how perfect he is. but he's too busy helping people to slow down and be worshipped. There were a lot of times when we'd rather stay up on the mountain where everything is perfect instead of going down into the valleys in our lives. After all, the mountain is wonderful. It can be our safe place where we have all the time in the world to reach out to God. Peter wanted to build dwellings on the mountain, and we love capturing holy moments, right? We take pictures of beautiful sunsets as if we could keep them by putting them in a camera. We build structures to worship God as if the building makes the church, instead of the people who are in it and around it and who come to bring it life. Building a place to worship God in doesn't mean that God will stay up on our pedestal. God is here, of course, wherever two or three of us are gathered together. And there's something wonderful about being able to set aside time to worship God together. We can pray and sing and celebrate God's presence. We all need a calm, holy place. This is a good place to start. But when we gather in Jamaica, God is there also. When we're in our homes, waiting to be warm, God is there with us, caring for us. When we feed people at St. Joe's or visit each other in the hospital, God is surely there. Jesus doesn't stay up on the mountaintop where life is easy. He goes down into the valleys to be with the everyday, ordinary people and make their lives better. Jesus greets each person with humility and listens to what they need. He touches lepers and eats with sinners, and he doesn't offer any easy answers. Jesus even loves the people society hates, because those are the people who need him the most. And if we stay up here on the mountaintop, Jesus is going to pass right by us on his way into the valley. It must have driven the disciples crazy that Jesus wanted to just move on and not tell anyone about this amazing transformation. But that shining moment isn't what made Jesus the Messiah. He didn't gain disciples by looking holy, but by reaching out and living a godly life. His life was a testament to how to be holy, by connecting with others in love. Jesus took a moment to listen for God's word, but then he jumped right back in to healing the sick and being there for the people who needed him. That's how Jesus showed the world who he was, through love. He kept searching for the lost and the lonely and reaching out to them as God's presence on earth. He knew that whether things were calm or not, God was always there. Most of us have had mountaintop moments in our lives when everything feels absolutely at peace. We have time to relax and focus on God's presence in our lives, and it is beautiful. We need times like that. But then, of course, real life messes all that up. Our sacred moments get interrupted by snow to shovel or friends who need someone to talk to. Sometimes you feel like you've got everything figured out, and then one person gets sick and your whole schedule breaks down. Some days just reading the paper is enough to make you want to cry and hide inside your house. But as Christians, we're called to step outside of what makes us comfortable. When we hear about poverty and injustice, we can't stay up where we feel safe. We have to go tell those people who need help and work together with them with God's love. After all, Jesus is already there with the oppressed, comforting them and offering grace. So if we're really Jesus' followers, we can't stay separate and try and keep his holiness for ourselves. We can reach out to share comfort with everyone we meet, just like Jesus did. We reach out through trips to the basic school and to Cameron Community, by taking the time to get to know people and to share our lives with them. We can be strengthened by beautiful, calm moments, and then take that strength and share it with the world. When we help others as a church, we transform the world into a truly sacred place. Let us welcome the busy moments and the calm ones as part of God's call of love and grace in our lives. Amen. Will you please join me in the Nicene Creed on page 34 in our hymnals? Let us confess the faith of the universal church. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Here is the time in our service when we can come together, share the joys that we are happy to celebrate, as well as the people that we are worried for and would like to lift up in prayer. Who has something that they'd like to share with us today?
Morning, Gary Dykes. My cousin Stephanie is going through some personal issues, and I just asked for prayers in her faith and to be with her as she's going through these things.
Prayers for Stephanie.
Hi, Linda Sidori. I'm a new deacon and just made 40 cups of coffee, so please, everyone, stop it and have coffee. We do not want to waste the coffee.
No. We will not waste the coffee.
Of course, prayers for traveling mercies for everyone who is somewhere they thought they would be going today or somewhere they are still going to try to go today, as well as prayers for all of the people who will be traveling this week. Let us pray together. Gracious God, you have done such marvelous things that your light shines all around us, and your glory is with us when we expect it and need it most, and even when we don't imagine it at all. God, we know your love is always with us, but there are times that are cold in our lives when we need all the help we can get. So be with us, God. Shine your light and your love upon those who are ill, who are recovering, who are waiting for good news and afraid they may not hear any. Be with the people who are homebound and snowbound today. They can find the resources they need to be safe and warm. Be with the people who are searching for a place of shelter in these Rochester streets. Bless the people who are reaching out to take care of them. And may we serve you by helping to find homes and shelter for every one of your children. We ask all of these things knowing that your love is a light in the darkness, your love is a warmth in the storm, and we are grateful for all of the ways that you share that love with us. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We know that everything we have is a gift from God, so let us give back to the God with thanksgiving in our offerings.
Dear Lord, thank you for your gift of everlasting love. Warm our hearts on this cold and blustery day so that we can use these gifts in your name to reach out and warm the hearts of others. Amen.
Serve your neighbor, and know that whether you are on the highest mountaintop or the lowest valley, God's grace goes before you every step of the way. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.